Thank you for listening to this episode of Changes Big and Small. This is your host, Damian. Changes Big and Small will help you take action in your life with intention and purpose. In each episode, I invite you to take action to build a life that you want. This is the first episode in a 5-day series to help you master the art of decision making. We make decisions throughout our lives, from what to eat every day, where to search for a job, where to live, whether to buy a house, etc. You can see the scale of these decisions are quite varied. Some of them have a bigger impact on the quality of your life than others. As you go through your days, when do you find it difficult to make a decision? When do you feel stuck or overwhelmed? Are there times when you put off a decision or choose to stay in the indulgent land of maybe? Understanding your decision-making process will help you see what's going on in those situations and how to navigate them. I will introduce 3 approaches to decision-making and explain their strengths and limitations. I will also share 2 different types of decision-makers and how they approach decision-making. Then we'll look at the common pitfalls of decision-making and ways to overcome them. I encourage you throughout this episode to reflect on your decision-making style and identify how it may have influenced your past decisions and actions. There are several possible approaches to decision-making. The 3 that we'll look at today are intuitive, rational, and emotional. Intuitive decision-making relies on your gut feelings and instincts. People who are more intuitive trust their instincts in the process of decision-making. On the other end of the spectrum, rational decision-making involves careful analysis and evaluation of options. Emotional decision-making is influenced by our emotions and feelings in the moment. The in-the-moment part is key because decisions are often a reaction to a feeling in emotional decision-making. Feel free to pause here for a moment and think about the last important decision you made. Was it intuitive, rational, emotional, or some combination of these? Each approach has its strengths and limitations. Intuitive decision-making can be quick if you're used to tuning into your intuition, but it may not always be reliable. Rational decision-making can be logical, but it may take time and effort and devalues your feelings. Emotional decision-making can be influenced by your mood, which can change on a whim. You may also be a risk taker or risk averse. Recently, I noticed that when I'm playing card games, I'm a risk taker. I have to clarify that we're not playing for money, so the stakes are not that high. And I guess I don't mind losing because I think I can always play again. However, I noticed that some of my friends play very differently to me in a much more risk averse way. There is one more part we can introduce to the idea of decision making and what kind of decision maker you are. You could be a maximizer or a satisficer. Maximizers are people who want to make the best possible decision. To do that, they carefully evaluate all available options and consider a wide range of criteria before making a choice. The idea is to make the right decision or the best decision. They don't want to miss out on the best thing. On the other hand, satisficers want to make a decision that is good enough, that meets their needs and expectations. They look through the options and criteria and stop when they find one that meets their minimum requirements. Maximizers worry that they may be missing out on the perfect choice, while satisficers don't worry about perfect. They're looking for good enough. This categorization is not new. It's been around since the 50s from the work of Herbert Simon, but you can find it discussed in many books throughout the ages. And I think the first time I read about this was in a book about online dating. Once you start paying attention to how you make decisions, you'll start noticing differences between yourself and others. You're not right. They're not wrong. We're all different. Take a moment to reflect on your decision-making style. Are you more analytical and data-driven, or do you rely on intuition and emotions? Are you risk-averse or a risk-taker? Spend 5 to 10 minutes journaling about your typical approach to decision making and how it may have influenced your past decisions. This self-reflection can help you gain awareness of your decision-making tendencies and identify how those approaches have been serving you. Are they helping you get the results that you want in your life or not? To make effective decisions, it's essential to recognize common decision-making pitfalls and biases because they cloud our judgment and make it more difficult for us to make a choice that serves us well. Two common pitfalls are confirmation bias and decision paralysis. In confirmation bias, we interpret information in a way that confirms our preconceptions. So for example, you might downplay or ignore information if it doesn't match what you believe or what you want to believe. Can you think of a time when you've done that? Where you've looked for information that matches what you want to be true and ignored all the other points of view that may have been different? This is a very human tendency. It happens a lot with food, for example. I know that sometimes when I have discussions with friends, one of us may think that orange juice is healthy while the other disagrees. If you believe that orange juice is healthy, you may only pay attention to ads, stories, etc. that confirm that. Likewise, if you believe orange juice is unhealthy. To overcome confirmation bias, be intentional about seeking information from a variety of sources and perspectives that both support and contradict your ideas. Weigh the various perspectives equally. Try to keep an open mind and consider all the evidence before coming to a conclusion. With decision paralysis, you can't make a decision because you let yourself be overwhelmed by the number of choices or the complexity of the decision, or maybe you fear making the wrong choice. As a result, you put off making the decision, which may mean that you miss several opportunities. I actually think that paralysis is a misnomer here because decision paralysis is not a state where you don't feel anything. It's actually quite a painful state to be in. It takes up a lot of brain energy. You don't get a break from the decision, but rather you spend a lot of time on it, gathering information endlessly, for example. Imagine a person who is trying to pick out a new phone, but there are so many options with different features and prices that they can't decide which one to choose. They might spend so much time trying to decide that they end up not buying any phone at all, even though they need one, even though the one they have is not working properly. To escape decision paralysis, there are a few things that you could do. One, decide how much research you'll do. Give yourself a set amount of time, not too long, just long enough, as short as possible. Two, break down the decision or your actions into small, manageable parts or steps. Three, set a deadline or a time for making the decision and respect it. 4. Consider the worst thing that can happen as a result of your decision and plan for that as well as the more likely positive outcome. And 5. Talk to a few trusted people, for example, mentors, family members, or friends, for input and to help you clarify your own thinking. But remember, the point here is for you to clarify and decide for yourself as opposed to doing what somebody else wants just because that seems easier. The invitation for this episode is for you to spend some time understanding your decision-making approach and how it served you or not served you, as I shared earlier. Also, think about what decisions have you been putting off. Create a list of things, or maybe you only have one or two, where you've been putting off making a decision. You'll use this list later in the week as we go through the other steps in mastering the art of decision-making. That's it for this episode. In the next episode, we'll explore the role of values in decision-making. Tune in tomorrow for tips and strategies on clarifying your values to help you make better decisions. If you have any comments or feedback, please leave a review for the podcast. This helps other people find the show. Remember, until the end of April, I have an offer available at changesbigandsmall.com/free for 10 quick, easy ways to get unstuck, When you sign up, you will also be eligible to get a free 30-minute coaching session with me. So make sure that you grab the opportunity. Remember, change begins with one small step. Let's make it a great week.